Welcome back once again to the New York Jets Touchdown UK podcast. My name is Richie Driss, and about 3,500 miles away from me is the knowledge, Dan Grasser. Sir, how are you? Good to see you again.
Rich, what is going on, my friend? Hope all is well. Things are good in Jetland. Hope is the same with you on your side of the pond.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, coming up on this episode, we're going to be talking to New York Jets linebacker CJ Mosley, chat about the London games, and whether or not a Premier League football match would make any sort of impact over there in the Big Apple. I, for one, would love to see that. And also, after all of the chat with Nick Mangold last week with regards to barbecue sauce, I need to know what you guys are eating when you go over to the stadium. Eating and drinking, of course, when you go to the stadium. So we're going to be chatting stadium food over in New York at an authentic NFL match. And we're also going to be catching up on our predictions and find out if I've managed to close the gap on Dan. But let's dive straight into it. After the Cleveland comeback, the Jets were at it again with a Steelers stunner. The green and white scored 14 points in the game's final 7 minutes, 31 seconds to beat the Steelers for only the second time in 12 attempts in Pittsburgh. Dan, take it away. What did you think of that?
Incredible. What can you say, right? I mean, there were so many swings. It was kind of a roller coaster game because the Jets jumped down to that 10-0 lead. And going in, the big story was Zach Wilson. He was making his first start of the season. I see you got your Zach Wilson jersey on.
Oh, yeah.
By you. But Zach was making his first start. They jump out to a 10-0 lead. Then Pittsburgh makes a quarterback change. They go to their rookie, Kenny Pickett, for his first action as an NFL quarterback. And they proceed to roll 20 straight points on the scoreboard. Jets find themselves down 10. But then that fourth quarter uprising, right? Those two long TD drives over the final 15 minutes there. They walk out of Pittsburgh with a win. And you said it perfectly, Richie. That is a place where the Jets have not had success historically. So to be able to get a win, to be able to get a come from behind win and really be the better team in the fourth quarter when it matters the most, that was a huge, huge positive.
There was a very, very notable play in that match where Braxton Berrios received the ball and threw it to Zach Wilson. You must have loved that. I know I did.
We jumped out of our seats, you know, a little trickeration from Mike LaFleur, the offensive coordinator, a little bit a la that Philly special play that the Eagles ran in the Super Bowl some years back when Nick Foles was on the receiving end of that. But yeah, it was good to see. I mean, Zach, we want him to be the quarterback throwing the football, maybe making some plays with his legs. We didn't know that he was also going to be catching touchdowns. That was a nice surprise.
Get you a quarterback that can do both. Am I right? And listen, I need to talk to you about the rookie running back, Breece Hall. He scored the winning touchdown and is starting to look very much settled in the team after them making the jump to play the NFL this season. Thoughts?
No doubt about that. And you know, the Jets are fortunate because they have not one, but two really good running backs in Michael Carter and Breece Hall, both young players. But Breece specifically, I mean, this is a guy when the draft came around last spring, Richie, where most so-called experts, they had Breece Hall rated as the number one running back in the draft. And the Jets were able to gobble him up still in the second round. Tremendous value. And you're really starting to see his confidence grow. The team has more confidence in him. He's getting more carries, more touches. And the Jets are on the receiving end of that because you know what? He's making plays.
Comeback kings in the NFL, you could say at the moment. Do you reckon it could be a potential tactic for Rob Saleh to make the team go behind so that they then pull out all of the stops to then go back in front and win it?
That's worked for them on the road so far this year, right? Because you had the Cleveland game where they came from behind improbably in those last couple of minutes. Then the Pittsburgh game, like we just talked about in the fourth quarter. Look, you don't want to make it a habit. You much rather would be winning from wire to wire so you don't have to pull out all the stops there in the final quarter, what might be. But, hey, it's a formula that's worked for them so far on the road. And, hey, to start 2-0 on the road, that's difficult. You know, Jets don't do that very often. A lot of teams in the NFL don't do that. Winning on the road is tough in this league. And the fact that they're 2-for-2 so far, I think, is huge.
Let's talk very briefly as well. Well, we have to, haven't we? About the event at the MetLife Stadium on Sunday against the Dolphins. Another great performance, beating the Dolphins 40 points to 17. But incredible football they're playing right now. Are they in the swing of things? Do you reckon they can take this momentum onwards?
Think about it. Just winning back-to-back games. Like, in the takeaway that we all said after that Pittsburgh game was, okay, now try to stack wins together. That's what a lot of the guys in the locker room talk about, stacking wins together. Good teams put together a winning streak. And now they're doing that, right? In yesterday's game, it was only 19-17 going into the fourth quarter. And then the Jets again. in that final 15 minutes, they exploded. 21 unanswered points. The defense making a play, forcing a turnover, setting up the offense to get themselves an easy touchdown. But just winning a division game. Jets had lost 12 in a row against division opponents. You know, they hadn't won back-to-back games since December of 2020. I mean, I could sit here and rattle off a bunch of things. Jets hadn't scored 40 points in a game, Richie, since October of 2018. And 5 games in, Jets have themselves a winning record. And right now, this season is starting to take shape, and it's really looking like it could be a fun ride for this team.
How much of that can we attribute to the return of Zach Wilson taking over from Joe Flacco, of course?
Well, I mean, think about it. He started 2 games. They've won both of those games. I think certainly that it breeds a little bit of confidence. Not that the team didn't have confidence in Joe Flacco, but as I like to remind people, when the front office put together this team during the offseason, all the acquisitions, all the players, at least on offense, they did that with the idea of Zach Wilson being the guy who was going to be the conductor of this offense. And now you're starting to see those pieces take shape. You're starting to see maybe Mike LaFleur call the game as he intended to, with maybe all the weapons at his disposal. Zach Wilson could do different things than Joe Flacco can, and the team so far is paying dividends here on Sundays.
Is New York absolutely buzzing at the moment? It must be, surely, because, I mean, they've built up this bit of a run. Is there a possibility of making the playoffs?
I mean, look, nothing would be greater, but I'll tell you, I always like to look at it like this. I break the season down into quarters, and now they have an extra game, so there's a 17th game. But in the past, you look at it in quarters. I think right now, you're already 1-0 in the second quarter of the season. You find your way to win maybe 1 or 2 more games here in this quarter, then the next month of November becomes more relevant. And then you just keep like stacking these wins together, as we talked about. I don't see why the playoffs is an unrealistic goal at this point, but we're starting to get to that point in the NFL season league-wide, Richie, where teams are starting to take on an identity, right? They're starting to morph into the teams that they're going to be for the rest of the season. All the preseason stuff, all the early season, maybe rust is now starting to wear off. We're getting a look over the next few weeks to where when you get to November, you're going to know if these teams are in it or not. So it's important to keep winning these games here over the next few weeks.
Let's take things a little bit more local, because over the last 2 weeks, we have had the NFL London games over here, of course, in London, as if that wasn't obvious. It really, really adds a buzz to the city, that is for sure. It's sort of the main event, even sort of being on terms with the Premier League football, that's for sure. I went to see the Giants' comeback win against the Packers. It was sensational. The atmosphere was electric. I've got a couple of observations, though, Dan, that I need to ask you, because I've never been to an NFL game over in the US. As much as the atmosphere was electric, that was helped by the fact that there was Tannoy and studio announcements making the crowd make some noise, saying make some noise. I had a fajita, like old El Paso fajita company, ordering me to make some noise. Do you get the same sort of thing over there in the US? Is there Tannoy announcements, or is it a little bit more, so we say, natural?
No, they have all that stuff. I mean, there's noise being pumped in basically in between every play, especially, you know, when the defense is on the field, for example, and it's third down for the opposing offense. You know, they have the PA guy go, it's third down, and they play some noise because they want the place to get loud. So it's difficult for the opposing quarterback and the guys on offense to hear the snap count and that type of thing. So, yeah, they generate the noise. They bring it. They're playing sound effects. They try to crank it up as much as possible. The only time when they want it quiet is when the Jet offense is on the field, let's say, or the home team's offense is on the field, so they can operate as best as possible in terms of barking out signals if they have an audible and have to change plays. That's the home field advantage factoring in.
It was quite surreal, as I said, seeing a fajita company ordering me to make some noise. I
was like, how was it, though? How was the whole experience for you? Did you enjoy it, though, going to that game in London yesterday?
It was incredible. It was incredible. The atmosphere, as I said, was absolutely immense. And also because, unlike many other sports that I can think of, with the exception of rugby and cricket over here in the UK, it's not really the done thing drinking in stadiums. Like, definitely not a football match. When you're at a football match, you cannot be drinking and sat watching a football match at all. So when it comes to the NFL and there are fans able to have a beer while watching the match, things get, let's just say, lively and brilliant, just in the best way. And everyone was sat amongst everyone, so all the fans were mingling, so it's not as if there was home and away, even though both teams are away. So yeah, absolutely stunning.
Did you find yourself, and the majority of the fans, I guess, sitting or standing for most of that game? How would you say the breakdown was?
Honestly, the guy in front of me, I think he was doubling up. He was not only watching the match, but he was also working on his quads, because the guy was standing up and sitting down constantly throughout the whole thing, which made me stand up and sit down as well.
I think it took a cue from him.
I did. I had no choice. He was right in front of me. But then whoever was behind me, I felt so sorry for them because I'm 6'3", so I definitely would have ruined their view constantly as well. What's the reaction to the games been like over in America watching them unfold in London?
I think people love them. You know, they really do, because you look at football on a Sunday, like here in the United States, you break it down into windows, okay? So now when you have a London game, the game starts on the East Coast here in the United States at 9:30 in the morning our time. So you wake up and you have breakfast and get to watch some football. Fantastic. So that takes you right up until about 1 o'clock. Then when 1 o'clock happens, you get the 1 o'clock window of games that everybody's accustomed to watching. Then the 1 o'clock is finished. Then you have the 4 o'clock games that are played. And then once that's all finished with, you get the one Sunday night football game coming up, you know, at 8 o'clock in the evening. So literally when you have London games, you wake up with football, you go to sleep after football. I think if you're a diehard fan, there's nothing better.
That is a truly super Sunday, DJ. And in fact, you've just sort of persuaded me. You just charmed me into thinking that a Premier League match over in New York would be a brilliant idea. What do you think of the possibility of that?
It would be huge. And not only that, it would be sold out. I guarantee you. If they ever played a Premier League match at one of the big stadiums here or whatever, there wouldn't be a ticket to be had. I guarantee you that. Guarantee you.
What is your knowledge of Premier League teams like? Because I want to know... who your ideal matchup would be over in New York?
I would have to take my cues probably from somebody like you, because I've kind of slipped a little bit when it comes to the Premier League. Like, we've got so much I got so much stuff on my plate here with the stuff that I talk about on a day in, day out basis. Like, the Premier League and stuff like that slips a little bit. So I would at least take a glance at I know the rivalries, but I would at least take a glance at the standings, because if you're going to tell me the game is going to matter for this season, I want it to be one that's going to be important for how the league is going to finish up this year, right? That's what we want.
Yeah, as opposed to, say, a historical rivalry, because let's be honest, Man United versus Arsenal isn't what it was 20 years ago, although Arsenal are doing bits at the moment. We talk a lot in the UK about one day getting an NFL franchise. Now, Roger was interviewed this week, and he said that the inclusion of Germany could make a possibility of a European division. What would that mean to Americans with, you know, their favorite sport?
To be honest with you, I don't know, because that's something that's been rumored, you know, for a long time, and it's kind of just been floated out there. And I know the commissioner made those comments a couple of days ago, but I don't know if it would fly. And the reason that, you know, you would have to really get creative when it comes to the schedule, you know, to how these teams are going to play, because you can't have teams flying all the way over to Europe and back and forth on a weekly basis. I just don't know if it would work. You know, they would probably have to send that team on a road trip, and they would be on the road for maybe 2-3 weeks at a time and just camp out in the United States, and vice versa. You'd be home for 2-3 weeks at a time. It would just get tricky. And then the other thing about it, Richie, is, you know, we talk so much about, you know, destinations, for example, here in the United States, and when players are free agents, when they decide where I want to go play. And I guess money is a big part of it. But would there be a lot of, let's say, American athletes, American football players that would want to go play for a franchise that is located overseas, where you're away from your family, you're away from your friends? You know what I'm saying? I understand soccer players do that. But like, in terms of American football, that's not something they're accustomed to when you have 32 teams that are located here in the United States. So I just don't know if that would fly.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can see it being the equivalent of when, with all due respect to Italy, they got added into the Five Nations to make it the Six Nations, and they just got beaten every single match. In fact, they won one last year, so I need to give them that. Let's dive into a social media call out, because we are looking for your forfeits, of course. Dan, I don't know if you saw last week that England women played USA women in the football match, the US being, of course, world champions, England being European champions. Did you see it? Did you hear about this? Have any idea? Do you have any idea how it played out?
Saw something that they were playing, but what was the result? I did not catch the result.
Well, let's hope it's a little bit like in the men's football at the World Cup, because England won 2-1 over the world champions. So I need to put that out there. But there was no forfeit for that. So
that's unfortunate. We didn't have a bet, thankfully, for that one, or else I could have already been feeling the end of that one, possibly.
But we do for this. We want to know. We want all of our fans to get involved and let us know what forfeits we should be doing ahead of the England versus USA World Cup match. Get involved with the hashtag JetsTouchdownUK. It could be to eat something weird. It could be to dress up as something weird. Anything within reason. I adore this one, Dan. I adore this idea. It's from @TheJetsGuy100. And it is to dress like the Joker and go to the New York stairs where that movie took place. You know, when he's bopping down the steps, dancing to, I don't know what the name of the song is, but dancing. Remember that? Would you be up for that?
If that's what we decide what the bet is, I mean, sure. Now, the only tricky part about that is we'd probably have to clear that with the local authorities. Because, look, in all seriousness, like, you do have people in our society that take inspiration from things they see on a movie screen, and then they go out and act these things out in real life. So we would just have to clear it with, you know, whoever, that no, I am not one of those, that this is for a bet for the wildly popular Jets Touchdown, you know, UK podcast here. So it's nothing serious.
Yeah, for sure. You are right, though. People do take inspiration from what they see on television. Like, for example, me injuring my thumb, trying to be just like Braxton Berrios. I am never doing that ever, ever again. When Nick Foles caught a pass for a touchdown against the New England Patriots, they called it the Philly Special. I know you're familiar with this. So I want your ideas for what we could call Zach's touchdown.
Well, you know what? It's funny. After he caught that touchdown, did you see he was doing the gritty dance?
Oh, did you see that?
He was doing that. So I was thinking, instead of the dance, I was thinking something with two, maybe something like a two-step or something like that. That's kind of what I was thinking about it. And you talk about like on brand, like you got the Zach Wilson jersey for the podcast today. That's what you're wearing. Something that we could tie in the number two with, I think, with the name would be a good way to go.
Yeah, for sure. I couldn't argue with that at all. We want to hear from you as well. Keep sending us your ideas and forfeits for Dan and I on the socials by using our hashtag JetsTouchdownUK. And also, we want to hear your ideas with regards to that Zach Wilson touchdown as well. Now, quickly, Dan, I read this week that former Jets running back Le'Veon Bell is set to fight on the bill of Jake Paul's UFC fight against ex-UFC fighter Uriah Hall. And that got me thinking, who from the current roster would make the best fighter? That is a big question. And if they're listening, then they're all going to be putting the pressure on you to pick them, no doubt.
That's a good one. Yeah, and you know, when Le'Veon Bell was here, yeah, I got to know him a little bit. He didn't strike me as a guy who would maybe venture into the world of boxing. Like, he was into music. I think he does like rap albums and stuff like that. And I know he has a lot of fun doing that here. But I didn't know about the fighting part of it. Who on the current roster would be a good fighter? Boy, that's a wow. I'll tell you. Just in terms of like the strength, the agility, the speed that you would need, I would say probably somebody who is either like a defensive back or a running back. Yeah, because when you watch these boxers, like, you got to have the quickness more than anything else. You just can't take like the biggest, strongest, like heavyweight division type guy, you know, for it to matter. So that's probably what I would say. I would say maybe like another running back or one of the defensive backs I would go with.
We want to know your thoughts on this as well. As per usual, hashtag is JetsTouchdownUK. Who on our current roster do you think would make the best fighter? Right, now it's time for us to jive with a Jet, and I have a feeling this guy would be pretty useful in the boxing ring. Joining us is one of the key members of the team's defense. He's a former first-round draft pick who was a four-time pro bowler. He joined the Jets in 2019 and plays at linebacker. And trust me, if you had a ball in your hand, the last person you'd want running at you is this man. Hello to CJ Mosley. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. CJ, you're coming off back-to-back wins against the Steelers and the Dolphins. What's it like inside the locker room right now?
We're all excited. We're all excited about the opportunity that we presented for ourselves. We put a lot of work in these past few weeks trying to get our team right, motivating everybody, practicing right, doing the right things. And it's paying off on the field, so it's been really fun.
And you're a bit of a hype man, aren't you, in the locker room? Because some of those speeches I see and hear you handing out are something I expect from any given Sunday.
Yeah, I guess I'll turn into the hype man. If you'd have asked me this a few years ago, I never would have told you I'd be the one in the middle of the huddle giving the speeches and, you know, getting everybody hyped up, man. But I've definitely embraced it a lot, you know, just going to, as this got into my later careers and being in the position that I am as, you know, one of the captains, one of the leaders on the defense, just being able to talk to my teammates, talk to my brothers and family, and really just speak from the heart and mind. Sometimes I might see a quote here, a quote there, but I'm really just feeding off, you know, the energy that everybody else is giving me. I'm just, you know, shooting from the dome.
Is that a typical transition for you, though? Because like you said, you were always a lead by example guy. Now you become more of that vocal leader. Or is that a byproduct of you're just now one of the elder statesmen in that locker room?
I think it's a little bit of both. You always understand where you are in your career in different parts. I didn't need to talk as much when I was in Baltimore because we had, you know, those veterans, you had those leaders that can do that every day. And you know, I just stood by and waited my turn, and, you know, definitely listened and followed. And, you know, a lot of stuff that I do now, a lot of things that I say, my characteristics, the way I present myself at work on and off the field, a lot of that's a byproduct of, you know, just the way I was raised with my parents, but, you know, also just been in the league a long time and seeing a lot of really good pros and really a lot of good players and good men just be my mentors and just watch how they conducted themselves. So I just try to do the same thing and share that NFL life tenfold when I, as I'm the older guy now, with the younger guys looking up to me.
Because you're talking about, like, of course, the time that you spent in this league. And I wonder, when you try to impart wisdom onto some of the younger players, maybe they're in their first, second season, you know, the average career, you know, you certainly have outlived the average career in the National Football League. Is that something that you kind of preach onto them, is that, you know, tomorrow is not something you should take for granted? It's not promised to you, that just make the most of every opportunity you have in this league while you can?
In a sense, yeah, because, you know, you hear it all the time. You know, coaches are going to tell you that. Obviously, the older players are going to tell you that. And, you know, for the most part, you kind of understand that football isn't going to be forever, but you really don't understand until you get a little bit older. It really starts to click in because you start thinking about, you know, those things like what's going to go on after football, or, you know, what's my plan in the offseason. You know, you're a little younger, you just kind of go with the wind. Now you got your family, you got this and that, you got to really plan everything out for your summers. But you know, for the most part, it's really a blessing to start as a rookie, being the organization where you got a bunch of players and coaches that really are driven to be a champion and mold you to be a champion, and you get an opportunity to go somewhere else and try to build that same mentality, try to build that same character in the building. And, you know, we've definitely did a great job getting the right people upstairs and on the field to have that mindset. So, like I said, man, just for me, all I'm doing is just sharing the same wisdom that was shared to me when I was a younger player. So, man, I'm happy to be in this spot that I am, and I'm glad that people listen to me.
I'm sure.
CJ, you've been involved in two truly stunning comebacks, but what's it like for you knowing that your defense has done its job and having to stand and watch the offense to see if they can get the win? Are you a good watcher?
Yes, I'm a good watcher when we're not breaking down our plays on defense, when we're not figuring out what we have to do. But it's been real fun. It's been fun competing. It's been fun being out on the football field in the heat of the battle. You know, we're getting off the field on third downs and 2 minute end of the half, end of the game, big time situations. You know, all those type of things that goes with having a defense that can be top in this league. You know, one of our biggest things is our turnovers. You know, we've been towards the bottom of the map for a long time, and we've been really balling out on getting the ball, as far as fumbles, turnovers, sacks, all those type of things. And that's just us working hard in practice and really trying to you know, get the ball out and score and, you know, get our offense the ball and make plays.
How about in the fourth quarter, too? I mean, you know, the old saying, games are won and lost in the fourth quarter. Pittsburgh, you guys scored two touchdowns unanswered, finish out the game. Yesterday, two-point game going into the fourth quarter, 21-0 over the final 15. You guys make a big play on defense, helping out the offense. Is that something you guys preach in that room, that, hey, the final 15 minutes, that can win or lose you a football game?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We preach on situational football all the time. You know, teams that are prepared for those moments before they come, those usually are the team that's going to be more successful. And that just goes back to us executing. That's one of the main things we're talking about, you know, keeping it about us, keeping the main thing, and execution, because that's what's wins you balls games.
CJ, let's delve into your position a little bit more. Now, as we said, you're a linebacker. Can you explain to our UK audience the nitty-gritty of what it takes to be a linebacker, what skills you need, and what separates it from the other positions on the pitch?
Yeah, so for a linebacker, there's actually three different linebackers. You got a middle linebacker, you have a wheel linebacker, and a Sam linebacker. So that can be middle or outside linebacker. So I'm in the middle. So there's three people. There's two on the edge and one in the middle. So the one in the usually linebacker in the middle, that's the guy that's usually the captain on the defense and gives out the call. That's a signal caller. So if you see anybody with a green dot on offense or defense in the back of the helmet, that lets you know that they have the microphone in their head to get the calls from the coach. So I think it's usually about 15 seconds on the clock before you can get an actual call out before the NFL cuts out the microphone. But once you get the call out, I'm pretty much much the quarterback of the defense. I get everybody lined up. I get everybody to call, make all the checks. And I try my best to keep everybody in the right position. And everybody else do a great job of listening and getting all the calls and checks out so we can all be on the same page. So if you're familiar with the quarterback, I'm really just a quarterback on the defensive side.
You're going to have to forgive this really confused look on my face. Did I hear you say you got a microphone in your helmet?
Yes. So there's two little orange little circles. If you're looking, you'll find it easier in the quarterback. So next time you watch a game, check out Zach Wilson. You see two little orange circles on the side of this earpiece, and that's where the microphone is.
You know what I'm curious? You said you have 15 seconds before the league, like the communication thing, they cut it off inside your ear. Does there ever come a time to where, like, maybe if the coach is a little uncertain about the call that they want to employ for that play, like that he gets cut off and then maybe you don't hear the whole call if he's going back and forth with something? Oh, yeah. Maybe
some offenses like to get a little tricky. They might hold out a certain
with formations and stuff.
Yeah, a certain formation and sub in somebody late. So if you don't get a call, that's we usually go to our hand signal. So all of our calls, we have a hand signal with them. So I just look to the sideline to give a call. If you don't have enough time, I just throw one out of my head. So whichever the main call of the week, that's what we're running.
CJ, is it possible to hook up your phone to the speakers in your head and play a little bit of music while you're playing in a really important NFL match?
No, just a one-way street. Only the coach can talk to us. We can't talk back. But that would be pretty cool. Might be a little bit of a distraction, though.
Speaking of the music, though, what's like pre-game? Are you a music guy? Like, what gets you in the mood? What gets you hyped up to go out there and play four quarters?
I usually put it on randoms, but I use a little bit of hip hop and rap. I've been calm enough. I've been zen enough to listen to a little bit of R&B and throwback at some points, but the music usually doesn't get me to a certain level. I'm already at that level. The music just helps me, kind of get my blood going. So before the games, it's a little more upbeat, maybe a little more rap, a little more hip hop. And right before we got on the field, I like to read over my notes. So either I just put on my noise cancellation headphones, or I might throw on a little something more chill. So just to kind of get my mind right. But it's
any personal favorites?
Personal favorites. Well, I'm definitely a big Future fan, so he's probably number one on my list. So if I don't have anything, I'll probably just throw on some old Future or something new. So
listen, CJ, you were announced as a team captain this season as well, alongside Zach Wilson and Justin Hardy. What's the added pressure like of being a captain? What does it mean in an NFL squad? And are you relishing it, or does it take some getting used to?
I wouldn't say for me it doesn't take any getting used to. I've always tried to look at myself as a leader by example, just doing the right things all the time on and off the field. And when I got presented team captain last year, with the new team, it was an honor for me. You know, anytime you can get any kind of award, you know, from your brothers or from your peers, anybody that you're working with, man, that's a big blessing. Because all I try to do is just, you know, do my job and, you know, be the best person I can be the best teammate, be the best man, or all of the above. And, you know, for everybody to really look up to me in that manner, it definitely means a lot, and I don't take it for granted.
Your dad's a big influence on you, right? Worked in shipyards for a long time. How has influence affected you in terms of leadership, and how what you witnessed him and growing up and the lessons he taught you as to what you try to impart on some of your teammates now as being one of the leaders on this team?
I would mainly say the work ethic. You know, the times just from growing up, from me remembering, you know, him traveling to Birmingham early in the mornings, or for, you know, week trips, him getting up early to, you know, drop me and my brother off to work, and then him go to work, him picking us up at the school after those long hours. All you saw was just a lot of work and no complaining, really. And, you know, he was just getting the job done, because that's what he was supposed to do. And that was his job, to provide for his family. So, you know, this is my family here. All the sacrifices that I make on and off the field, you know, everything I'm asked to do, you know, good, bad, and indifferent, doesn't matter. You know, it's all for one purpose, it's all for the team. So I think a lot of his work ethic, his motivation, you know, his willingness to do the right thing and be unselfish about it, that's all byproduct of, you know, of him.
That's beautiful. Love that. Earlier on, we were talking about Le'Veon Bell and stepping inside the boxing ring. So I'm going to have to put you on the spot, CJ, and ask you, who you would back the most amongst your teammates to be the best boxer?
I'm not sure. Le'Veon was probably the first player that I've been with that actually like took boxing classes outside of football practice. I didn't think you could have enough energy. For a second, I thought I wasn't doing enough work outside of football.
He was recording rap albums and everything. Yeah,
he was getting it done. I tell you that, he was getting it done. That'd be a tough one. For showmanship, I'm gonna go with Michael Carter. Because he can be like a little Muhammad Ali. He can get the crowd going.
Michael Carter, the running back, the defensive back? The running back, Michael Carter. That's your buddy, Richie.
Yeah, MC.
He can definitely
sell some tickets. He'll definitely get people in there. So if he doesn't fit in a boxing, he can definitely be the promoter for it. But we got a couple two-way athletes. Now I'm thinking about George Fant. And I know he's a big guy, but you know, he was a baller too. You know, he hoops, so he got good footwork and a little hand-eye coordination there. So, you know, we got a few athletes out there that I think can give a little rumble in the ring. Don't know how long they're gonna last, but I think they'll step in and give it a shot.
They have a lot of guys on the team, Richie, like CJ was saying. They were basketball players, even in college, and then went on to become professional football players, believe it or not. So really good athletes in multiple sports.
Mad, multi-talented. CJ, in case you didn't already know, I'm 3,437 miles away from you in London. And you've been over twice, haven't you? 2017 and then last year with the Jets. And I noticed you led the defensive stats both times. You love a bit of London, don't you?
You know, London is nice. Fortunately, I have two losses with that, so I don't really remember my stats that well. But, I mean, just the opportunity to be in London, to, you know, leave the country, it was awesome just to be in that environment. Especially last year, even more than the first year I was there when I was in Tottenham. And, you know, London did the national anthem, so it was obviously at the – what's the name of the stadium? The Spurs. Yeah. Tottenham Spurs. So obviously I like soccer a little bit. I'm not 100% just all in, know every single player, but you know, I know the right team. So I know that was a big stadium to be at. And when the national anthem came on and everybody started singing, just got straight Premier League vibe. So that was really dope to be a part of. So I feel like we're about to get ready for a soccer match when we was there last year.
Listen, you just said to me, you know, the right teams. So, you know, I've got to ask you, who is your team?
So I first got affiliated with soccer because I started playing FIFA, and that was FIFA 2011. So I was still in college. So at that time, I didn't know how to pick different teams. So the first team was Juventus. That was the first team I played with. But then I worked my way around, and I ended up playing with Chelsea a lot. So the old school Chelsea team. So you got Fernando Torres. You got what's my guy name?
Didier Drogba.
I was a big Drogba fan. So I would just stick with Chelsea because that's who I started with. I'm already a bandwagon for the most part, so I don't want to just jump to the team that got all the best players. So I'm just stick with my men in blue.
Think about this. We've done a few of these shows already, and we've had Jets on. CJ and CJ Uzama, as a matter of fact, both Chelsea fans. How about that? Maybe it's the CJ and the Chelsea connection. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
I got to say, CJ, I thought we'd get on far better than this. But that's fine. Listen, each to their own. I'll move very, very swiftly on to a final question. Listen, when UK New York Jets fans go over to New York, where would you recommend them to go to eat? We've been talking about food earlier on and how the Americans do food incredibly. So where would you, what's your spot? Where would you send them?
Important question.
It is an important question. I'm not really a guy that eat out a lot, especially going in the city. It's a little ways away. But I have been to, you know, STK Steak. That's a good place to go to. I would say I'm more of a seafood and steak. That's probably an easier choice for me. You know, you got Catch Steak, you got Catch Seafood. Those are some popular places. This place called Pergola. They have a really good spot. A lot of good food there. But when people ask me that, I just give them an easy answer. I mean, it's New York City. You know, whatever you like, you can find it.
He's right about that.
So whatever you like, it's going to be some section in the city you can go to and get some of the most organic or some of the best food. So, I mean, anywhere from pizza to salad, you can use it. It's a big menu for you.
Well, let me ask you on that subject, though, with food. After a victory, home game, for example, okay, so you don't have to worry about traveling or anything. You have a little bit more time at the crib. What's the victory Sunday night meal? Is there one in particular that you maybe like to skew towards?
Honestly, it depends on the game. So sometimes you're a little more beat after the game. You might get something a little lighter. Sometimes you're not even that hungry, so you might just eat a couple fruits. But I would probably, usually my parents at home, so we're going to have a nice home-cooked meal. So nice. That's probably going to involve some type of barbecue. Might probably be some baked beans in there, some mac and cheese. Might throw some mashed potatoes.
He's talking about eating light. That's a feast. That's a feast.
That's a good day.
Yeah, but look at the size of him as well. He's an absolute unit, especially compared to me. My gosh.
I saw the uniform. You put it on pretty well.
See that? You wear the uniform, Cody says there.
We try. All again, no idea. CJ, before I let you go, I just need to give you the heads up that I'm a Manchester United fan and we play Chelsea in a couple of weeks' time. So I'll be in touch with you, sir.
Okay.
But only if we win. Only if we win. Otherwise, I'm running for hills.
Yeah, right.
CJ, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Top man. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, CJ.
Okay, DG, last week on the pod, we were talking to Nick Mangold, and I was obsessed over his barbecue sauce and barbecues, full stop. I went to the London Games yesterday, and of course, while I was there, I had to have some food. And in fact, one of my favourite things to do when I'm over there in the US with you guys is to eat anything and everything, because for me, you have some of the best food in the world. So I need to know, right, what is the average thing that when you go to an NFL match, you would eat?
If you're going to a tailgate, and most people tailgate before the game, like we talked about in one of our previous episodes. You go in the parking lot, you fire up the barbecue grill. Barbecue food is the way to go. You're talking about your hamburgers, your hot dogs. You can do your ribs. You could do your chicken. You could do anything you want to put on a barbecue grill, you know, the pork or whatever. And by the way, let me say this. Nick Mangold with the barbecue sauce. At the stadium on Sunday, they had Nick Mangold pulled pork barbecue sandwiches that I was able to try one. And let me just say, fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. What about
fantastic?
And I'm guessing that's in the stadium. Let's talk within the stadium itself, because obviously it's a little bit more restricted. You can't take your barbecue into the stadium with you.
Right. This was in the stadium that they were having, you know, just there. This wasn't like you could bring in with you. Fat Rooster chicken sandwiches, very good in the stadium, too.
That sounds incredible. But speaking of inside the ground, and this could sound strange to you. Right. Over here, when we watch football matches, there is a drink on offer in some stadiums anyway called Bovril. Now, Bovril is a hot drink which is based on beef.
So it's like a broth kind of, basically, like a beef broth?
It's you drink it. It's completely smooth. There's no veg or anything like that in it. It's literally like a hot drink that's based on beef. And I've had it a couple of times. It's very nice. It's great in the winter. What do you think of the sound of that?
I don't know if that would fly, to be honest with you. I mean, like, you could do a soup. You know, I know people that, you know, like a hot soup when it's cold. And that's the thing you got to be careful with, too. Like, as you get later into the season, with outdoor football, of course, right? And especially these cold weather places. Like, you know, it gets cold here in the Northeast. You go to a place like Green Bay, you're not going to be able to really have much of anything because it will freeze. You know, what? Like, for instance, like, we've seen so many games over the years, like in Green Bay in the playoffs. Like, if you try to get like a cup of hot cocoa or hot coffee or something that you buy there or try to take in with you, if you don't drink it within 10 minutes, the thing's going to be frozen already.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. Let's talk other stadiums in New York as well with regards to food. Is there a specialist thing that is in every stadium in New York, no matter what? Is it New York style pizza? Is it a footlong hot dog? What is it?
It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I guess like each of the different stadiums maybe are known for one thing in particular, or one particular vendor that they have set up in that place. Maybe that isn't in other stadiums. But nowadays, you know, in 2022, you know, everything is so sophisticated. And look, you pay a nice penny for those tickets, right? And you have at your disposal pretty much any kind of food option that you want. Seriously, like anything that you would cook outside in a tailgate, you could buy at some way, shape, or form inside the stadium. You know, because all throughout the stadium, they have different places, the different levels, the different sections. Any type of genre of food that you want, you could find in the stadium. I guarantee you that.
I need to ask, the best thing you've ever eaten in a stadium?
The best thing I ever ate at a stadium. Wow. Oh, you put me on the spot. Do you have, first, while I think about it, and this is called a stalling tactic, do you have an answer?
I mean, most of mine are possibly affected by the amount I've drunk as well beforehand, but I will always go outside of the stadium. You have little food vans and stuff like that. Nothing like the ones in the US, different burger van. So I always, before I go to a football match, I might have a burger before I go in. But in stadium, a pie. cannot go wrong with a good pie in a stadium. A steak pie. The ones at Old Trafford, the steak pies, are stupidly expensive, but pretty good.
It sounds good to me. I mean, steak, anything with the meat is good there. All right, here's my answer, and it's kind of along the lines of that a little bit. It's not at a game, but it's still at a sporting event, so that counts, right? Okay, so at the U.S. Open, the tennis U.S. Open, of course, every year in New York, out in Queens, one of the things that they have there, they have these like filet mignon steak sandwiches. Pat LaFrieda is the name, and it's on like a nice roll with some nice like dressing and stuff like that. Fantastic. Like fantastic. So good you need a nap afterwards. You get into like a food coma. That's how good it is. It's a pretty penny. It costs you a couple bucks, but you know what? You're going to finish it and you're going to feel content. You're going to feel satisfied. You're going to feel happy. The Pat LaFrieda filet mignon steak sandwich at the U.S. Open is to die for, my friend.
So it's only at the U.S. Open?
No, they have that at other places as well. I know they have that at Citi Field where the Mets play baseball. They have like a Pat LaFrieda setup or whatever. I don't believe we have it at MetLife Stadium for Jet games, but anywhere where there's something along the lines with that filet mignon steak sandwich, I'm there.
Oh, my God.
Richie, I wouldn't look. I would not lie to you. I would not lie to you, and that is the God's honest truth.
Oh, God, get me involved. Get one in the post to me, please.
It might lose a little bit of its effectiveness by the time it gets over to you. Just a little.
Now, let's end with our predictions and catch up on the scores. How many field goals the Jets would kick against the Steelers? That was one of our bets from last week. And I nicked it. You went with 3 and I went 2. And they only had 1 field goal. So by default.
So you're both over.
Well, both over, but by default, I was the closest, wasn't I? So I'm going to give myself that one. Then on combined points against the Dolphins and the Steelers, you went 39, one less than they got against Miami, and I went 25. They scored 64 points, so I think we're both miles out. So
we owe the Jets an apology. That's what we do.
A real little faith there, that's for sure. And finally, I mean, listen, my producer is making me talk about this, finally. The Manchester Derby. Remember the conversation that I had about whether to go with my head or my heart?
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. I went with my heart and I went for 2-2. You backed me and Manchester United and you went 2-1 to United. So neither of us are getting anything. Because do you know the final score of that particular football match?
It got ugly, right? If I off the top of my head, was it a 4-1 vehicle that day?
Oh, it was worse. Oh, it was 6-3. It was an American football score nearly for a British football match. And the worst thing about it was that I was working that day and I switched my phone and all of my socials off so that I could get home and watch it with my girlfriend, who is a Man City fan.
That to me is amazing, because now in this modern age where you have the whole world basically on your phone at the palm of your hand, you could do whatever you want. You were able to go an entire day and you're working and you had no knowledge of that score and you did not come in contact with anybody who even alerted you to the score.
DG needs must sometimes. Now, my uncle did ring me and he said, and clearly he was taking the piss out of me, because he said that United, I'm going to be really happy with the result. That's what he said. And I was going home, watching with my missus, who is also a Man City fan, which really rubs salt into the wounds.
Right.
It turned out to be 6-3. So I waited 8 hours for a football match that was one of the worst things that I have witnessed ever. Horrendous.
I used to do that when I was a kid, but when I was younger, and this was before the internet, before cell phones or whatever, if a game was on that I wanted to watch, I would set the recorder at home. This was back in the VCR VHS days. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so yeah. I would set that and I would literally go out and I would not come in contact with anybody. I wouldn't want to know any. And it was a lot easier in those days, you know, because it wasn't like everywhere 24 hours a day. But wow, doing it now, that's impressive. That's impressive. You pulled that off.
Impressive and upsetting, because all I did was just delay my depression at watching my own team lose 6-3. So the scores on the doors are 3-2 to you. So ooh, it's actually closer than I thought it would be. I'm not going to lie. Right, next up. How many touchdowns will the Jets score against the Packers?
I like the way this offense is playing right now. I really do, even though Lambeau Field is a tough place to play with the environment. Packers a little salty coming off of that loss in London. I'm going to still go with 3 touchdowns.
You're going to go with 3. I'm going to go with 2. I've got a producer over here as well. His prediction is 3 or 2 as well. So we're on the same page. How many running yards will the Jets gain when they play the Denver Broncos?
Denver's always a little bit tricky. You know, their defense is playing pretty well because their offense is a mess right now. It's always tricky with the altitude out there in Denver. You know, could play some games with you. I'll say, though, how about 125?
Okay. I'm going to go for 100 on the dot. That's what I'm going to do, a nice round number. And seeing as I'm still losing, how many wins will Man United manage in their next three very tough Premier League games? So they've got Newcastle, Spurs and Chelsea. Three games before our next podcast. Newcastle, Spurs and Chelsea. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but Newcastle have got new owners, newish owners that are the richest people possibly in the history of the world. So they've been buying up a lot of players and they are rejuvenated, that's for sure. Spurs and Chelsea, of course, above us in the league.
Yeah, what are transfer fees to them? Nothing, nothing, I tell you. Exactly. That's the money you find in your couch cushion. Right. I'm going to go with one win, one loss, one draw.
Do you want to put names against those? Spurs, Newcastle, and Chelsea?
I'm looking at it in the totality of the three games. I'll give you one, one, and one. I can't lean one way or the other, but I just have a feeling that that's what the results are going to be.
I'm going to go for a win against Newcastle, a win against Chelsea, and a draw against Spurs. So two wins, one draw, because I am...
That wouldn't be bad if that happens, right? I mean, you take that.
I mean, it depends. I mean, currently, I don't know what's going on with my team. We lose 6-3 last weekend to Man City, and then we come from behind against a team from Cyprus. Have you ever heard of Cyprus?
Yeah, isn't that by Greece?
It is. Good geography. Love that. And my producer is in my ear saying Newcastle will get a result. Yeah.
Very famous tennis player from Cyprus. Remember Marcos Baghdatis?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. Good knowledge. Listen, Dan, thank you so much for always for being here, providing the knowledge and telling me all about food and making me absolutely starving. Now, remember, throughout the season, we want to hear from you. If you have a question you want to ask the knowledge, get in touch with Dan and myself. I might not be able to help, but use the hashtag JetsTouchdownUK and I will ask it on the very next podcast. This show is a Shooting Shark production in partnership with Sport 5 and the New York Jets. We will be back with you after the Jets take on the Denver Broncos. Until then, peace. And to our fans from the UK, if they go and visit the US, for a match, what is the one food that they need to take in?
I got an answer for that one.
Far away.
Oh, I didn't even know if we were rolling. I thought that we are. We is this?
Oh, line? We're rolling. Oh yeah, we're rolling.
I didn't even know. I just we were just sitting here talking. If this will be on the B roll, this will be like the end of the season, the extras that you get on the bonus DVD.